Today on Piano Jazz, Marion McPartland's guest is pianist-composer George Shearing, who passed away in 2011 at age 91. He was a guest on Piano Jazz on four occasions, and we pay tribute as we revisit a program from 1987. Here are Marion McPartland and George Shearing as they frolic, reminisce, and make music together.
Since 1953, you haven't really written a hit song, and you just have to do one. You've just got to.
That's because I can't get that same piece of meat from the butcher in northern New Jersey. I don't even live there anymore.
Oh.
That's the real reason, you see.
Oh, well, it doesn't have to turn out like Lullaby Birdland. It can be a contemporary song going along with what's happening today. No, God forbid. No, don't do that.
Do you know what? The musicologists have discovered that God Save the Queen has a tag. Did you know that?
Oh, come on. Now this.
Well,
is...
yeah, no, really. Two of them, you know. And if you believe that, I have a 9-foot Burzendorfer to sell you for $5,000.
Well, I was just, while you're doing that, I was just thinking of doing that very thing. And I can just picture the Queen and all of them standing there, and they're all so proper looking, and some big brass band, and the guys, the Grenadier Guards, or some of the people wearing busbies and the red uniforms, and suddenly they blare into that tag. That's what that is. It's a tag,
well,
you know.
And you just... know. Yeah.
Let's see.
Oh, good heavens. You know, I did reharmonize it when we had the quintet.
You know, this show could stop dead in its tracks because I'm already thinking of other versions of the Queen. You know, this show could be 10 versions of God Save the Queen, you know.
Yes. Oh, let me hear. Oh, yes. You should be ashamed of yourself, mate.
And I'm still British. Still British.
You are?
Yes.
You never did become an American citizen?
No, I know you did.
I did.
I
have. In 1956.
They
said,
why.
Who's the president? I said, James C. Petrillo. And right away, you know.
They let you in anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, goodness. Well, we didn't get very far without playing some music, but I'd like to have you play a nice solo. All your solos are
nice. Do
you
remember this song?
A lovely solo.
Do you remember this song? Thank you.
George, I haven't heard that tune for years. I suspect that's an English tune. Little man, you've had a busy day.
I will admit to first hearing it somewhere between 1936 and 1937. I was really a baby. I couldn't appreciate it.
Couldn't even climb up to the piano by yourself.
No.
I understand. I was the same way myself. But I somehow happened to hear that tune and play it. And, you know, I just hear you playing this beautiful song and an outrageous thought is coming to my head about some tune. Wasn't there a tune once called Ain't It Grand to Be Bloomin' Well Dead?
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Do you remember that song?
Yeah, you see, I don't know. I was a mere tot at the time, too.
I don't know. I don't remember.
I mean, I don't remember the melody, but I remember there was a tune called that. And I tell that to people. They say, come on, there never was, but there was.
Well, there was also a tune called I'm Looking for a Guy Who Plays Alto and Baritone and Doubles on a Clarinet and Wears a Size 37 Suit.
Oh, come on, there wasn't.
I'm telling you. I'm looking for a guy who plays alto and baritone and doubles on the clarinet and wears a size 37 suit. Don't you remember that song? I'm really not putting you on, my dear. There is such a song. It'll be one for you to research.
Now that we've picked on some really, really choice tunes, I thought I'd have you do
another song.
Another song, couldn't you?
Another song?
Yes, another.
Do you want a piano solo or do you want
a
vocal?
Yeah, no, I'd love to have a piano solo.
All right. Arthur Tatum, if you're listening, my profound apologies for this arrangement of Yesterday's.
Goodness, George Shearing paraphrases Art Tatum. Isn't that sort of pretty much an actual arrangement of his that you
Pretty so close.
So lifted.
All the right notes are his and all the wrong ones are mine.
No, but that little interpolation, what was that thing? Let's see. All those little things. That's wonderful.
That's his. And I love that kind of sequences like that.
It really takes me back. I mean, remembering when I first heard that, I don't know when it is. It seems as if those Art Tatum things have been in my head forever. Now, did you, I guess you just listened to the records and...
Yes, primarily. However, I am in possession of an Art Tatum folio. Have you seen one?
I know there are some around. I'd be afraid to look at one, frankly.
Do you agree with me that it sounds, when he has that kind of percussive, do you agree with me that he most likely would do 5, 3, 2, 1, 2, 1, 3, 2, 1, 2, 1, 3, 2, 1, 2, 1, 3, 2, 1, 2, 1?
You know, I should be able to say that I watched him I did watch him, but I don't remember noticing the fingering. I just remember that everything he did was with very sort of flat fingers.
Yeah.
Me too. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but I was sort of, when I did get my little stint of studying, I was taught to sort of raise my hands and...
Well, my wife, Ellie, always calls it snow on the mountain, you know. she doesn't call it that. Her music teacher... called it that.
Snow on the mountain.
You must keep your fingers very curved, you know. And I can see the curvature of the fingers in... this Chopin Etude. And incidentally, all the books, and I don't want to get too technical because we're not on a technical show, but all the books say fingering 2, 3, 1, 2, 4, 3, 2, 3, 1, 2, 4, 5. My Russian teacher in England said 1, 4, 2, 1, 3, 2, 1, 4, 2, 1, 4.
Oh.
And she said the reason is that so that your thumb can maintain a natural position of being underneath the hand. And also you can practice single, double, single, double.
Do you still do all that stuff?
I just want to give you the impression that I do.
Oh, no. Well, you did. You did already. I'm just sort of, you know, this is what they called gamesmanship in the old days, didn't they?
Yes, yes.
Stephen Potter, he had a great deal to say about that.
This is Piano Jazz with Marianne McPartland and her guest today, George Shearing, in a program which originally aired in 1987. And there's more to come in a moment.
We've got a duet. I'm going to play part of this because I wanted to talk to you about your new record with Barry Tuckwell. And I saw you on the Today Show a little while ago, the two of you. And later I hope you'll sing something from that album. But meanwhile...
the album was 10 strings, 7 violins, and 3 celli. And rhythm section and Barry.
Did you do the arranging?
And yes, I did all the arranging. And the particular thing I have in mind for us to do is I Got You Under My Skin, and it's got nothing to do with the string portion of the album. This happened just Barry and me. So what I'm going to do, and you'll be able to hear it out there because I'm on the right-hand side, the right-hand piano, and Marion is on the left. And I'm going to have Marion play Barry's portion of this. I made an attempt to get I've Got You Under My Skin, which is a typical Porter song. with that lovely society too, which he was so famous for writing and did so beautifully, I made an attempt to have it sound a little bit like a piece of Lieder by Schubert.
Only and you can do something like
consequently,
that.
Consequently, I have a piano intro, and then Barry, or in this case Marion, comes in. I'm going to start on the right-hand side of the spectrum, and Marion will come in on the left with Barry's part. And then you'll notice that I will go back and play the intro before the second stanza, and I'll play the bridge, and then Marion will come in a little later on. And
well, anyway, you've got a lot of faith.
Here is, I have faith in you seeing me nod to you.
All right.
I got you on the
nod. That's going to make everything okay.
Well, it's better, actually. Logistically, it's better if I nod to you than if you nod to me, unless you have a stiff neck and can make it creak.
Well, that's kind of you better take a second off and let me laugh. Okay, I've laughed.
Thank you.
Oh, that is just a gorgeous arrangement, George.
Thank you.
It's really nice. Well, now that you've played something so really beautiful, and I'm just sort of sitting here in amazement, now comes my turn to play.
Oh, I was wondering when you were going to get around to this. What are you going to play?
I thought I'd play a tune that I used to play a lot at the Hickory House, but haven't played in an age. Glad to be unhappy.
Oh,
isn't that a Rodgers
song.
And Hart tune?
Hmm?
Rodgers and Hart, isn't it?
I believe so. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to have at it anyway.
Oh, bravo. Isn't that beautiful? That's lovely. Thank you.
Thank you. I used to know the lyrics to that tune.
Is it from Most Happy Fella? I can't remember.
I'm not sure. It's funny because that goes back to my Hickory House days. I think somebody gave me a Rodgers and Hart, a great big book of all their songs. It was one of my staunch fans that used to come in there. And I think that's when I actually learned a couple of those, what I think of as sort of not everyday tunes, you know. No, people don't play that much anymore,
right.
That one. But you pick so many wonderful tunes. How do you, you know, if you're going to do an album or you've got a new project, what do you do?
Well, when we did
tunes?
The one with Barry, primarily because Barry had done one previously with Richard Rodney Bennett on Jerome Kern, it struck me that we could do a Porter album, because there's so many wonderful Porter songs that would lend themselves to the French horn sound. And incidentally, the best testimony I can give to Barry Tuckwell is that he came in at 10 o'clock on Monday morning, we never having played any of the charts together before, and as delicate and somewhat unreliable as the French horn is as an instrument in the hands of perhaps some other players, Barry blew his first wrong note Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, I mean, I just feel he's the best in the world. So it was so gratifying. We did Easy to Love in 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And since Tchaikovsky is so, you know, noted for French horn, you know, or, you know.
Yes, sure.
The intro to Easy to Love was... So,
I'm astonished at how you get all this stuff. You just pull these things out of the air, or at least you have them all in your head because you learned them as a kid, I guess.
I was on a show recently, an interview show, with a guy who obviously was, unlike this show and you in particular, looking for something to say. And he said, how do you think of these things? And, in the shower or where... I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, it's really amazing. I said, I have my shower, I turn off the taps, I reach for my towel, and the moment the towel comes in contact with my body, here is another tune that comes into my head. He said, you're putting me on. I said, oh, of course not.
Ooh, that's funny.
So I don't know. I'm sure you think of them in all funny places too, don't you?
No, but I don't think, I mean, I have a sincere, or if there's any other kind of, I was going to say sincere admiration. I'll just say admiration for your knowledge of the classics, being able to pick out a theme by a certain composer that will fit your arrangement that you're going to do with Barry Tuckwell. I mean, I think that takes a lot of concentration and thought and just sheer genius, really. I've always thought that about you.
I hope my wife Ellie has an admiration for it. But, you know, some time ago when we left San Francisco, we gave a farewell concert for the benefit of our church. And she had a classical pianist who was her West Coast accompanist. And they did things like... You know, the vocalese of Rachmaninoff. And he did
You've used that somewhere.
So, anyway... She was, you know, swatting up lyrics and stuff for weeks. And she said to me, what are you going to play? I said, yeah, I don't know. I said, no. And now it's Friday and the concert is Sunday. She said, okay, what are you going to play? I said, I'm just about getting it together in my head.
Now, she must have been going crazy.
Yeah. She went on and did her first half, came off, and now the intermission, and now the people are filing back. And old Shearing here is going to do the second half of the program. She said, okay. She said, I am now taking you on stage. What are you going to do? I said, I just about got it together.
Oh, now you're so tantalizing. Oh.
Now we start. Love is a many splendid thing as written by Rachmaninoff. And as you pointed out a minute ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Taking a chance on love.
And I did that all through the program. Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring, and the Mickey Mouse theme in the left hand. And I thought there was going to be a divorce. Because you know the way classical people feel about us being able to kind of come in and just toss something off our heads, you know, off the top of our heads, which is literally what happened with the piano and French horn portion of the Barry Tuckwell album. It occurred to me. So I did it and played it that way. And at the end of that thing, he said, you know, I want you to know that I take this very personally.
You're listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McParland and her guest today, George Shearing, in this program which originally aired in 1987. And there's much more conversation and music coming up.
I'm not sure if you were singing when we did the last show together, but I guess you. I'm not sure. Anyway, it doesn't matter because now you do sing a lot, and it's very wonderful to hear. Will you sing a song?
I'm never really sure whether I'm singing or not, but I.
Will you warble a song?
I'd like to stay with Cole Porter, and I just love this lyric.
What, just a minute, isn't this one you did with Barry?
One that's on the Tuckwell album, and I used a little quotation from the Ravel string quartet, like this. And then Barry starts here, but it's too high for me, so I'm going to start a little bit lower. This tune is called After You. After you, who could supply my sky of blue? After you, who could I love? After you, why should I take the time to try? For who else could satisfy after you, who hold my hand and swear you'll never cease to care? For without you there, what would I do? I could search years, but who else could change my tears into laughter after you? After you.
Oh, I love that key change.
Well, you know, seems to me that I liked that kind of thing on the end of Nobody's Heart. Do you remember? Remember the end? I admire the moon as a moon. Just a moon, nobody.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That's a natural. I used to play that tune for Alec Wilder when I was working in the Carlisle, which you have now taken over, by the way, in the wintertime, haven't you?
Yes, yes. Every January and February we seem to be there. Tell me about Alec. Did he mind reharmonizations of his tunes?
He always...
I ask you for a very special reason.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes the way Alec acted, he would get very angry at the way I would play something, and at the end of it, he would mumble in my ear, "Couldn't you play the melody at least once?" And I used to say, "Well, if you want a sort of brill-building version of the tune, why don't you find some song plugger to play it for you?"
That's right.
And I used to feel quite guilty sometimes, and I would be always trying to please him, but I mean, I just couldn't sit there and play a tune straight. So sometimes I would mess around with the tune, and then I'd play the tune straight right at the end, like the last chorus. I would do it. I'd say, why does it have to be the first chorus? He always wanted it to be sort of like theme and variations. Play the tune and then improvise. And I said, well, this is the fun of doing it. You don't always have to do it that way.
Would I have thrown him if, when he said, you know, why don't you play the tune as I wrote it? If I had said to him, well, send me a Braille copy and I will.
Oh, he would have just gone, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
Real loud, you know. He might have had something witty to say. I can't know what he would say at this point, but he was a very funny guy. Well, you did meet him, didn't you?
Oh, yes, many
times.
You
didn't know Alec.
Yes. But when am I going to hear an original from you?
An original from me? Well, yeah. I don't know. After this next tune, you know, you and I have got to do a duet. Because
assuring people that we'll be together again.
Oh, now that isn't a cue for a song.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. Yeah.
You're listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland and our guest today, George Shearing, in this program which originally aired in 1987. And there's more to come in a moment.
I've got to get in the right frame of mind for this tune because I don't know if you're familiar with towns like, oh, you must be Guildford.
Oh, yes.
And that part of the country.
Yes, very
much in England.
So.
I had an aunt and uncle who lived near Guildford in a little tiny village called Peas Lake, if you can believe that.
Peas Lake,
P-E-A-S. Surrey, P-E-A-S-L-A-K-E. And I used to go there as a kid. And next to that was another little town called Shear. S-H-E-R-E.
Oh.
And there was a little, like a little pond there in among some trees. And I used to like to go there and walk. And years later, and it was called the Silent Pool.
Oh.
And I never forgot this place. And years later, I had this sort of mental picture of it. And I came up with this tune, which sort of developed just as I was thinking about, you know, going back in time to walking around this beautiful place. So here goes.
Oh, what a beautiful piece. You know what crossed my mind while you were playing that?
No.
I would just love to hear Robert Farnon orchestrate that one day. I think that would be absolutely marvelous.
Well, you know, it had crossed my mind, and it's sort of, now that you've mentioned it, that will sort of reinforce my thoughts about that. Because I'd love to hear you do it.
Passage Bob had in his Canadian suite or whatever that thing was.
No, I don't, but play it for me. Because well, you're a great exponent of his music.
Well, I just love it, you know. Just be beautiful if it were orchestrated by Robert Farnon.
I'm going to have him do it, and then
I will. You're still playing symphony concerts,
yes,
aren't you?
Yes, you are too, aren't you?
Yes. Well, I really would love you to have him do it, and then maybe I can borrow the orchestration from you.
Or maybe we
can pull some money and write to him jointly and have him do it so that we each have use of the orchestration.
Hey, that's a heck of a good idea. I like that.
Because I'd love to play this piece.
Well, do it. Hey, you and I have to do a duet. But before we start, one last thing I've been meaning to ask you all day, George. What's coming up next? You have probably plans to do some other new things that you haven't done yet.
Yes, I want to do next a kind of Horace Silver type album with tenor and trumpet, or flugel, rather, and piano, bass, and drums.
Well, before we start, I want to tell you that being around you is a lot of fun, and getting to play together is never anything but a source of amazement to me, the things you do. You know, I'm beginning to shape up a little bit now that I've spent the afternoon with you.
Aren't you going to leave me anything to say?
Well, now's your chance.
The feeling is most mutual, and that's not a plug for my record I did with Nancy Wilson. It's a reply to your wonderful comment, and thank you. It's always a joy to be with you.
Well, let's play.
Here or in Indiana.